Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I know that distancing yourself from a friend can be difficult. You know, but sometimes it has to be done. On tonight's Perspectives, I'm explaining who to distance yourself from and how to successfully do it. You know, the thought of distancing yourself from a friend often enters our mind when we feel that the relationship has taken a negative turn. It no longer serves a purpose. And when we feel that in order to preserve ourselves, we need to take a step back. I've been there before. I've been there before where you're looking at a friendship and no matter how long you've been in it, you know that eventually you need to sever ties. You realize that in order for either self-preservation, for you to move on, for life to be good, possibly, or just to feel like you have a better beat on life. You know, sometimes we can be friends with people for a long period of time and we love them. We love them a lot, but it's not bettering our life in any way. It's actually getting in the way of us living. I've had friends in my life for years, 10, 12 years, 15 years even. We've been together since school, since elementary school, middle school, high school. And you love those people. You care about them. That's the reason why you're friends. But yet, you feel and you know inside that you've got to eventually distance yourself from this person. You know it because every single time you hang out with them, you know what you have to do. And it's weird how we can get all weird about it because, you know, we've had it around for so long. We've been around them for a long time. I mean, some of you might say, hey, I've been friends with these people for a decade. 2 decades. What am I supposed to do? And when a relationship takes a negative turn, I think that's when we have to start being critical and analyzing honestly, what are we going to continue to do in this relationship? What makes sense? And what do we have to do to better our life and to better ourselves? And sometimes it's not just about bettering our life. Sometimes it's about sheer preservation. So let's talk about this. Because I know for a lot of you, the idea of distancing yourself from a close friend can seem scary and stressful and even almost impossible. You've been hanging out with them for countless years. You have countless memories. You know, heck, they might have a lot of dirt on you. You know, sometimes we trust our friends with things that we wouldn't trust anybody else with. Those are things to take into consideration. Those are things to not take for granted. But there becomes a time when in that friendship, you've had enough. It doesn't matter what dirt they have on you or what they can come back at you with. You've had enough. And I think that's where we're exploring. That's what we're talking about on tonight's show, is that we've always dealt with it. One of us, some of us, all of us at some point in time is dealing with this right now. I would have to say that most people listening to the show, to a degree, you have a friend that you love and you care about. But just like that relationship with that love interest that you had that wasn't going anywhere and it wasn't working, and you were both stuck on each other, but not stuck on each other for the right ways. Codependency. Sex. Whatever it was. But this friendship is different, but yet it's the same. It's not going anywhere. It's causing you problems. It's holding you back. You could also be scared of the situation altogether. And let's begin to talk about that. When we have a friendship that we need to distance ourselves from, sometimes we know that we need to distance ourselves because there's a negative turn. It's no longer working for you because things have turned negative. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I've written several books, and in chapter 2 of my most recent book, I talk about the constant energy sucker and the negative type person. And it's interesting how we have some friends that, you know, if you let them know and you say, hey, you know, you're being negative. I just want to check yourself. You know, I'm working to be positive. I'm working to stay positive. I'm constantly being alert in the fact that I want to be positive. I want to put the best foot out there. I want to put the best foot forward. I want to go into life and know that we have options. We're ready. We can do this. You know, but some of our friends have a tendency of being negative, and some of our friends have a constant tendency of being negative. They can be hostile. They can be negative. They can also produce this unproductive environment around us. And you know what I'm talking about. And a lot of times when someone is a constant energy sucker, it's not just that they're negative. It's like they suck every last bit of bone marrow out of you, where you feel like there's nothing left. You feel like you have to go home and hibernate like a bear because you don't feel good. Your body aches. You think you might have gotten something bad. You might have eaten something bad. You might have had food poison, for Christ's sakes. You don't know, but you just spent time with XYZ, and every time you spend time with so-and-so, you feel like crap. It's interesting how that goes, and a lot of times it's because of the constant energy sucking. They're nagging. If they're not nagging, they're closet negative. If they're not closet negative, they're in your face negative. If they're not in your face negative, they're constantly asking you the craziest questions and wanting the longest explanation possible. You know, it's like they don't listen. It's like for the last 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe since the time you met, they've never really honestly listened to one word you've ever said. We've all had friends in quotation marks like that. The one that never listens to you, that automatically assumes they know what you're talking about and constantly asking you for clarity. When they ask for clarity, you give them clarity in the nicest of ways. Within 10 minutes, they've forgotten what they've asked you and they're going to ask you again. I mean, come on, insanity. What is insanity? Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting what? Different results. But you know what? That doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen. You have to do different things. You have to make changes in your life to get different results. It's just the way it is. It's the way life works. You know, and that's the key, is that when we're dealing with relationships that we need to put distance between, whether because it's hostile or negative or creating an unproductive environment, we have to do it. So think about it. If someone is bringing you down, if someone is constantly bringing you down, what does that entail? I've had people around me who constantly bring you down, and they constantly bring you down, and you could be having the best day and they constantly bring you down. And eventually, you know what to expect. You know that if you're having a great day, they're going to be having the worst day. And guess what you have to do? You fake not having a good day. It becomes like this funny sitcom where you walk in, you're having a great day, you get meek, you shrug your shoulders, and they ask you how you're doing. Oh, I'm fine. Okay. No, not that good. No, nothing good. No, you know, it is what it is. Oh, really? Okay, you must have had a crappy day like me. Yeah. You know, every day's been crappy, you know. They're all worse. Every day is worse than the next. And it's interesting because we go through this process and we start meeking ourselves down. We start dumbing ourselves down. We start becoming this wallflower because we know what to expect. But why? Why do we do this? We become non-authentic anymore. We don't even become truthful. We become some sort of quasi person that's no longer yourself because you know that you're trying to change your feelings or your outlook based on what this person thinks. And so they're constantly bringing you down and you allow it because it's not a one-way street, guys. It's a two-way street. Think about it. Somebody can't bring you down unless you allow them to. However, it's a lot easier to get brought down when somebody's trying to bring you down. You know, but you can slow that down. You can put space in between. You can eventually let go of that relationship. What about haters? And I know that term was a big term about a year ago. And people would talk about your haters in your life and who are your haters. Bring out your haters. Figure it out. And you know, sometimes we can have closet haters. And I think that's what we want to talk about right now, is that you'll have people in your life that you don't know that well. And they'll call you out on stuff. They'll hate on your productivity. They'll hate on your successes, your family, all that kind of stuff. But let's talk about our friends that we've had for years who happen to be closet haters. Wow. This one's always fun because you never see it coming. It's one thing for somebody to yell across a stadium or yell across an amphitheater, "I hate you! I hate you, Ashley! I hate you! I hate you! And remember me, I hate you." Okay, well, now you know that so-and-so hates you, and so you can go on living your life. But what about the person that you keep right next to you? What about the best friend that you take with you everywhere, that you do everything with? Huh. And it's interesting how a lot of times the haters that we have in our life, they might not even know they are. But everything they do kind of shows up that way. It's like they're constantly making judgment calls on you. Judging your actions, judging your productivity, judging your life. Even competing against you on things that you're not competing with them about. You know, I recently had a friend call me on the phone the other day and talk about, you know, their new house purchase, which I am delighted that they bought a new house. I think it's great. And they quickly told me about the sticker price and how this outdoes my house. And then they went on about cars, and I literally was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe that they were competing against me in a competition that I wasn't even competing in. It was like being in a swimsuit competition, and you don't even have a swimsuit. I mean, I wasn't even on stage. I didn't know they were voting. I didn't know I was supposed to get some sort of sash that said, "I'm better than you." And it's interesting because a lot of times you don't even realize who's hating from a distance or who's hating competing because they're too busy being friends with them. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about how to know the people you need to distance yourself from. Which friends out there do you need to distance from? And better yet, on the second hour, we're going to be talking about how you can actually successfully distance yourself from them. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I am your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, I know that distancing yourself from a friend can seem difficult, but sometimes it's necessary. You know, later on in the hour, I'll be talking about how to distance yourself with success and ease. And right now, I'm talking about how to figure out which friends you need to distance yourself from. And anybody that's listening to the show knows that there's probably one of those people that you need to distance yourself from. It's time to move on. Not every friendship lasts a lifetime. And that can be hard for some of us because a lot of us were born in the belief that we will have friends forever, and some we will. Some friends you will have forever to the end of time. But for the most part, I think that some people you won't. You'll grow out of favor. You'll grow out of, you know, having things in common. You won't be able to find the connection. Some people stop growing. Some people put their foot down and don't want to continue to progress. Other people do the opposite. And so if you want to create something in your life, you have to think about it. You need to be around people that are creating things. If you want to be happy in your life, you have to find that within yourself. However, you want to surround yourself with other people that find happiness within themselves. It's easy when you think about it. It's not that hard. Whatever we're looking for, it's not like the Holy Grail. You're not Indiana Jones. You're not having to pick from a big tabletop of various goblets. You're not having to figure out what would a poor carpenter have. No, it's very quite easy. It's actually right up front. Life is not that hard. It's just what we do with it that makes it so challenging. So let's talk about when friendships take a negative turn. When they no longer serve a quality purpose. When you feel that you need to let go. So let's talk about the negative turn. Right before the break, I was talking about the constant energy sucker. When it's a hostile environment that's created, a negative environment, a negative turn, and an environment where, you know what, you become unproductive. It's interesting how that whole concept, birds of a feather flock together. And I don't really think that those two birds came together and they're exactly identical. It's the same as a couple. Think about an older married couple, even 5-10 years into marriage, they start having similar mannerisms. Why? Because they're around each other all the time. Same thing applies for friendship. When we surround ourselves with people all the time and we're constantly around them, we're going to start to have certain things rub off. And those certain things can either be good quality rub-offs, or those things could be interesting. Yes, I know. I made my own funny right there. But they could be interesting things, or they could be unsuccessful copies. You know, for example, I have a friend of mine, and we're very good friends. And well, I think we'll always be friends. But there are certain things in their life that I don't want to deal with. There are certain things that I tried to run with that just didn't work for me. And so I've been able to put boundaries down. And that's something that you can do, too, is that not always do you have to completely distance yourself and cut the relationship off. Boundaries could be in the form of the distancing. Distancing in the form of the boundaries. Okay? And when we have healthy boundaries in order, we don't always have to agree or disagree with what someone else is doing. We create our own boundaries and we accept that person all the time, but we surround ourselves with them when they're doing things that please us, that we respect, that's on our same wavelength. On the flip-flop, if you're trying to quit drinking and your best friend is a raging alcoholic, the last thing that you're going to be able to do is hang out with your best friend that's the alcoholic and drink. You might love that person, and there might be times where that person is instrumental to your life, but it's not when they're out at the bar getting trashed. And there's certain things that you can deal with boundaries, but I think right now what we're talking about is when somebody is no longer able to be friends. You've realized that maybe you've kept them around way too long. You've started settling for things. They're getting in the way of your productivity. They're getting in the way of your life. And you no longer find commonality. And that's allowed. We can make changes. It's just when we don't make changes and we stick with the status quo and the status quo is no longer working where it becomes detrimental. So let's talk about this. I brought up the fact about how people can bring you down, about how people can be so negative they can bring you down. And sometimes we can change ourselves to follow suit. Instead of being happy, instead of being ecstatic about something that happened, we bring it down a notch. We tone it down and eventually we get, you know, kind of morose. I remember I had a friend of mine that every time I would walk in the door and see them, I'd be like, hey, what's going on? Oh my God, it's so good to see you. What's going on? And they'd be like, psh, bring it down, man. Why are you yelling? I'd be like, I'm not yelling. They're like, you have a little too much energy. You're just a little too happy. I mean, how can anybody be a little too happy? You know, I remember falling for that. And you know, you can't fall for things like that. That's not allowing me to be me. And so over time, the more I hung out with that person, the more I toned myself down. I got so toned down, I didn't know where they ended and I began. I was no longer cool, fun Ashley. I was kind of like beatnik, poet, dressing all black, feeling a little stressed out, kind of down. I think I might take up smoking, Ashley. That wasn't me. And I tried to be that, to be around that person, but it just didn't work out. Because you know what? They didn't really like me for me. They just didn't. They wanted somebody that was on their scale. They wanted somebody that they could manipulate. They wanted somebody that they could tell how to act. I wasn't any of those. So it took me a while to step back and realize that. And when that came about and I realized the situation, I distanced myself. The next thing is the undercover haters. We talked about that. The undercover haters. I'm not talking about those people that literally walk up to you and say, I hate you. I don't like you. I don't like the way you do things. I don't want to even walk around you. I don't want to see you on the same side of the street. No, we're not talking about those people. We're talking about the people that actually keep it undercover. And sometimes those can be people that are right next to you. And I recently had a situation that this all kind of came about, and it's somebody that I've known since elementary school. And you have to really think about these types of things. And you have to realize what am I getting out of the friendship? What are they getting out of the friendship? Is this working, or are we just clinging on to the fact that we've known each other for so long? And that's really the basis of our friendship. And I think it's important to really realize that, because if someone is actually harboring ill will towards you, that's not good. Especially when they're right in your camp. When you have Camp David and they're sitting right next to you, that's not a good idea. It just isn't, because you don't even know where it's coming from. And the last thing you want is somebody wishing ill will upon you when you're trying to be successful in life. It's hard enough. Much less to have people around you that don't want to see you be successful because they're secretly competing against you on a daily basis. And that's something that you want to think about, is that do you need to distance yourself from someone that is competing? And you can figure out when and how and why, and you can get down to it. And a lot of times we already know who those people are. We just don't have the guts to put distance between us. The next one that's a constant energy sucker is a friend of yours that you've known for a long time that happens to be into drugs or alcohol or addictions. And this is something that's crucial and critical to understand, that life is an interesting pathway and people can make choices. However, if you are surrounded by people who are making choices of drug addiction and alcohol, you really have to step back and see where your life is. I mean, you might need to distance yourself immediately out of self-preservation, out of freedom. I mean, there is a saying that says, in the wrong place at the wrong time. And if your life is going up and you're creating a career for yourself and you have a family, the last thing that you need to do is to surround yourself with old friends that are still doing drugs and still caught up in the game. It's not going to end pretty. So stay tuned. We're going to return. We're going to be talking more about friends who have drug addictions and alcohol addictions, as well as moving into the concept of the proverbial dead weight. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about the friends that you might need to distance yourself from, as well as later on in the hour, we'll be discussing how to do it successfully and with ease. You know, I know that the thought of distancing yourself from a friend can be difficult and challenging, but the reason why you're thinking about it is because it might be necessary. We normally don't cross that bridge until we need to. Most of us have a tendency of being a little lazy about it, actually. You know, I've gone into business deals with people before. I've gone into business deals with people before where I didn't do a background check. I mean, come on. I mean, I know it's been years, but still, what I'm trying to say is that when you're going into business deal with somebody and you have a lot of stuff wrapped up financially and a lot of time wrapped up, and you don't do a business background check on them, you don't do a background check on their person, that's how normally most of us live. You know, most of us don't think about that kind of stuff until something bad happens. Like, when was the last time that you were hanging out with somebody and you didn't think about it, you didn't do anything, and then eventually they take you for something, or they take your money, they do something, and you go, oh my God. And that's when you start piecing together the whole puzzle. And you go, I should have known, why didn't I know? But we rushed into it. You know, there's a lot of emotional stuff there. You know, we're people, we're human beings. And we like other people for the most part, and sometimes we can get sucked in by the wrong people. So let's talk about the constant energy sucker in the form of somebody that is on drugs and alcohol. If you have old school friends, and some of us, you know, some of you probably never did any drugs in your life, never, you know, not really a big drinker, but you have some friends that are. But other of you, I'm speaking to you directly, people that have been through that, have been around it, their best friends, they were in that system, they were doing it. And they were able to pull themselves out of that, create a career, finish up their school, do everything, start a family, and then you still have those same buddies around who are still doing drugs. I mean, some of you know what I'm talking about, where you have it all together, you got it going on, but your old crew sit around the house most of the time and smoke weed. That's what they do. And if you go and hang out with them, that's what they're doing. And, you know, half of you has that, you know, remorse of not being able to do it. Half of you is happy that you're no longer doing it. But yet there's a stress level that comes with going back into that group. There's a stress level because you don't really belong there. And you wonder if you really belong where you are now. I mean, think about it. It's hard enough. I mean, you've done a lot of the work. You've gotten yourself out of it. You've gotten off drugs. You've gotten off whatever it is that was holding you down. But now you have your friends that are still doing it. How do you deal? And then if they're still doing it, how close of friends are you? And a lot of times that's when you have to distance yourself. Because you start questioning yourself, and I'm sure with a little help from your friends, you'll start questioning if you just can't do a little bit here and there. I mean, it's not like it changes you as a person. I mean, everybody's allowed to have a little fun here, there, now, and then. Come on now. And you have to remember that these are the times where you have to step up to the plate and stand up for yourself. And if you've just recently made life changes to better yourself, the last thing you need to do is to be constantly pushed back and forth in the old system. Because there's only so long you can be around it if you have certain addictive behaviors that you can hold up. Think about it. Even if you don't have an addictive behavior, there's only so long you can be around it before they get on your everlasting nerve. Before you start questioning your existence and your lifestyle and what you're doing now and the validity of that. Or before you start making, this is okay. I'll make excuses for this. This is fine. You can smoke this. You can do that and still have my career. I can have both. I can have my cake and eat it too. And that's when the slippery slope effect takes place. And bad things happen then. Because you've created this stuff, which is great. But now you've allowed yourself to backslide in. And you know what? It's interesting how... It's always interesting how drugs and alcohol is a community drug. It's a community option. You know, there's only a few people that will share their successes with you. Their successes. I'm one of those kind of people that I love to share success with my friends, my family. Anything I can do to bring someone else up, I will do. However, most people would rather share the vices. There's a large amount of vices going on and going around in society, and people want to share it. I mean, you never heard of one person just holding and hogging up the cocaine. No, they want other people to do it. Bring it around. Share it. They want everybody to be in the same situation. And sometimes that means that you have to cut bait. You have to distance yourself because sometimes people won't let you leave. And it's not that they're holding you and you're over there being held against your will. No, you're there too. But in order to leave there, you have to begin to put some distance between you. You know, another thing, and lastly, that we'll talk about on the constant energy sucker, is that a lot of times some of these constant energy suckers, it's like you have to explain everything to them over and over and over again. It's like they never listen to anything you say. And that's an interesting concept. It kind of goes back to the prophet in your own hometown, the prophet in your own backyard. There's a lot of parables about this, about somebody can be the most empathic genius. But when they're surrounded by the old school and by the old friends and the old schoolhouse and what have you, they don't appear to be that intelligent. You still have those friends that'll sit there and go, oh, I remember when you wet your bed when you were 5 and everybody found out about it in kindergarten. You can't tell me how to live my life. You can't give me any advice that's going to work. You wet the bed. Well, now you're 35 years old or 40 or 45 years old going, well, that was a long time ago. And that's one of the big deals in life is that sometimes you can be at the top of your game and the people around you don't care. And I always think that's interesting how a lot of people that are very successful, their old friends, really don't care. It's almost like they avoid that person's success with every morsel of their body. And you have to start wondering about that because I think that we're supposed to triumph in our friends' successes. I know that when a friend does well, I applaud them. When a friend does well, I tell them, I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. And it's interesting how I do that to even people I just meet when they tell me about a career or a job. I ran into a lady the other day. She's very neat woman, very wonderful. She does a lot of custodial work in big high-rise, corporate buildings. And I was like, oh, I haven't seen you around. And we started talking and she was vacuuming this entry hall. And she turns off the vacuum and she's like, yeah, she goes, it's so good to see you, Ashley. And it's pretty nice that she remembers my name. And I said, how have you been? And we talked for about 10 minutes. And she goes, by the way, I won't be here after this week. And I go, you won't? Where are you going? And she's like, I got enough money and I'm opening up my own salon. I'm opening up my salon. And I was like, I am so proud of you. And I'm proud for you. And she grinned from ear to ear. And you could tell that she hadn't heard that often. It's like when you ask a telemarketer, how's their day going? They literally stop. They breathe funny into the phone. And then they kind of think that you must be up to something. She was ecstatic that I cared. And I think that's what we need to rejoice in. That's what we need to care about. And if you are surrounded yourself by people that don't care and that don't rejoice in your success, you need to really rethink what you consider a friend. And in that situation, I would have to say that probably subconsciously they're upset. Subconsciously, they don't feel like their life has matriculated into exactly what they've wanted it to. They might feel a little put off, a little behind the eight ball. And that happens a lot. I've been there before where somebody says, hey, I just got this deal. Oh, my God. And I'll be like, yay. And then I'll think about it and I'll be like, man, I've been working at this for years. You know? And you have to sit there and push that out of your mind and say, hey, there's enough for us all to have. There's enough to go around. I am honestly happy for this person. And I also don't like to have to explain myself so much. And so if you're around somebody that you're constantly explaining why you do what you do because they don't understand you, there's a sign that, guess what? Y'all don't connect. And sometimes you have to let that go. If you're constantly trying to connect and that person doesn't understand what you're trying to do, there's a disconnect. And you can explain yourself and do it as much as you can, but eventually there'll come a time that you realize you probably need to distance yourself. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about more about financial handouts, emotional handouts, and the energy that happens that goes with that, as well as the proverbial dead weight. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. You
could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and
sound. Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about distancing yourself from a friend can be difficult, but it sometimes has to be done to better your life, to better yourself, to move on, to help them even move on. It's not always about you. It can be about them too. I mean, sometimes the best thing to do is to let things go. You know what they say about love is, you know, if you allow love and you allow it to go and it comes back to you, then it was always yours. Well, great. It's the same thing with some of these friendships. Sometimes you have to let go and see where the dominoes fall. See where the dice is. See what happens. Because if we sit there and go through life humdrum, sticking with the same process that really hasn't worked that well, guess what? Our life is going to be, well, really hasn't worked that well. So we've been talking about the negative turn. We talked about the constant energy suckers, the undercover haters. We've been talking about the people that you seem to have to explain yourself to every single step of the way. That gets annoying. That gets really annoying. It's like, heck, you don't understand. You don't have a clue what I stand for, or you would understand where I'm coming from, for God's sakes. I mean, don't you have somebody in your Rolodex, in your phone, in your friendships right now that you probably saw yesterday or you saw sometime this week, where every single thing, every single choice you made, even down to the food you ordered at lunch, they wanted to know why? I mean, and sometimes that can be just like a childlike inquisitive type thing, which is cool, but it can be a little bit much. It's like the 2-year-old or the 3-year-old. But why, Mom? But why? Why? What's this? What's that? What's this? What's this? What's that? What's that? What's this? What's that? That's great when you're 2 and 3 years old. And I like the childlike attitude. That's what makes you authentic. However, there's a time and a place for every question. And when somebody is just a barrage of questions, you have to sit there and think, man, first of all, you got to feel like your energy is being sucked out a mile a minute. The second thing is, oh, I mean, I had enough already. And third, sometimes people have to know, you know what? Not sometimes. Your best friends and your good friends should know why you would make a choice that you made. If somebody really honestly gets you and understands you, you shouldn't have to explain yourself. Sometimes in the beginning, you might have to make it obvious, so that they know that they're on the right path and they understand where you are and they get you. But when you've had a long-term friendship with them and they've been listening one bit, just even a second at a time, they should know. So let's move on to the proverbial dead weight, another group of people that you'll want to distance yourself from. The proverbial dead weight, they're always looking for a handout. And they never, ever if rarely ever, pay back. Now, you have a friend like this. You might have several friends. You might know a posse of people that seem to fall into this proverbial dead weight type arrangement. You know, it's like they're always looking for a financial handout. Rarely do they pay for dinners. Rarely do they pay for lunch. And most of the time, you're left holding the bill. You're left holding the ticket. It's funny how that works, isn't it? And it's funny how we constantly surround ourselves with those people and we constantly feel duped each and every time. I mean, you can't be used 24/7 and feel good about it. You know what I'm saying? Only an actual manufactured doormat that you can buy online with your monogram initials on or go get at Home Depot feels good being a doormat. It's made to be a doormat. That's what it's made for. That's what it's produced to be. That is the product. It's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be something that when you open the door and you let someone in, they can wipe their feet on it. It's to basically open the door and say, hey, how you doing? You've entered our home. Hi. You know, some people have the cute ones that say woof on them, which I think is kind of cute too. But you are not supposed to be used. You're not supposed to be a doormat unless you allow yourself to be. And so the proverbial dead weight is always looking for that financial handout. And normally the way to distance from them is to quit handing it out. You know what I'm saying? Quit being the codependent person. Go to CODA meetings. Figure it out. But if you're upset that somebody keeps getting a financial handout, quit handing it to them. You know, the next handout that the proverbial dead weight wants is the emotional handout. Oh, Ashley draws a different card. The emotional handout. I think, to me, emotional handout is pretty tough. Think about it. The emotional handout. It's a lot like the financial handout, but it's emotionally draining. They need you to comfort them and cuddle them and hold them because of something that took place that they're upset about. And that's fine when this is kind of a two-way street. However, if this relationship is all about them and they're around when they need your emotional help, this is a problem. And you know what I'm talking about, that person that calls you and is so downtrodden that you go, come on by. Come on by, I want to see you, let's talk. And they come by. And they dump all this on you, and they leave, and they're glowing. By the time they leave, they're glowing, they're happy, they're great, and you don't hear from them for 3 weeks. You don't hear from them until they need you to bring them back up again. And that's the kind of person I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the person that needs a little emotional help here and there. I'm talking about that person that needs you to build them back up again so they can go out and do what they do, and then when all the chips are down, they'll be back at your doorstep. And this is a two-way street again because you've allowed them to come over. And you've done this over and over and over again. Think about that girlfriend of yours that you have. You love her to death, but she keeps dating this jerk. It's the same jerky jerk guy that she's always been dating. It's always a problem with jerk guy. She's going to tell you about jerk guy every time you see each other and on the phone. And on text messaging and on Facebook, social media, private messaging. You know, and eventually, year after year, you're helping her with jerky guy. Or she meets another jerky guy that seems to be like, must be a twin of jerk guy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And they're constantly looking for advice. They never follow it. And that is really the definition of your relationship. That to me is not a friendship. That to me is you're coddling. There's a lot of problems there. What are you getting out of that? What good is coming out of that? I don't think anything. I mean, you got to cut bait. And you know what? It's probably best for both of you because she's probably stuck in a rut of telling you her problems because she's used to it. And that is what your relationship is based on, is that she's used to you telling her telling you problems and you giving her advice. So what happens if she stops telling you her problems? What are y'all going to do? You don't have any other basis for a relationship. Your relationship is purely based on the fact that you are her guidance counselor. And that, to me, doesn't have a long longevity. And so I think that when we go into friendships now, being that we are mostly all adults that are listening to tonight's show, I know that some children do listen to my show, some awesome kiddos that are very mature and probably more mature than some adults listen to this show. But for the most part, most of us are able to make our own decisions. We all are, but we're able to make good quality friendship decisions. when you meet somebody and you hit it off and you like what they stand for and they like what you stand for and you're not trying to change them and they're not trying to change you and you're both authentic and honest and truthful, that's a home run. That's a home run. And so I think that a lot of times we hold on to old school friendships because we're scared. We're scared of what's going to happen if we let go of that friendship. But telling you one person to another person about what happened. I've let go of friendships. I've cleaned house. I've done this. And it's actually created a world of happiness. I hardly could get the word out. Happiness and healthy. It's very healthy. And I still have a couple of friendships that I need to distance myself from. But I know that it will happen in due time. And it happens for a reason. And we have to do that sometimes because we have to move on. And a lot of times we do that, it's not just about us, it's about helping the other person move on because they could be holding on to old patterns and holding themselves back based on y'all's current friendship. You know, and I think also we have to think about in the proverbial dead weight, we have to think about the concept of handing out our time and our energy very freely. You know, a lot of times the proverbial dead weight will call at all times of the night, will text at all times of the night, and will want an immediate response from you. Think about it. I mean, if you're going and doing that to them, well, you know what? You get what you reap, what you reap what you deserve. You reap what you sow, you get what you give. But if that's not the case, you need to step back and say, okay, let me look back at this. And you've probably answered their text at 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. and you've trained them into doing this. You've trained them into stepping over boundaries and you probably don't have any personal boundaries. You've trained them to take up your energy and time and you've trained them to text you about absolutely anything. I don't want to hear about you ran out of toilet paper. I don't need to hear about how bad your food was at lunch today. I'm not calling you up to tell you about how rotten my food was. And sometimes we train people to do that. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking more about users and losers, as well as the liar. The liars that we can come about with our friends and realize who's lying and who's not and how to distance ourselves. But later on, we're going to be talking about how you can successfully distance yourself from every one of these types of friends and do it successfully and with harmony. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about distancing yourself from a close friend when things have gone negative. You know, sometimes in life, we have these friends that we love, we are endeared to, but it's just not the right friendship. When things take a negative turn, when things start to become unproductive, when things become hostile, when we realize that we might have to exit stage right because of our own self-preservation. And on tonight's Perspectives, I'm explaining who exactly you need to distance yourself from and how to do it successfully. That's what's so important because I know a lot of us know when things aren't really working, but we don't really know how to deal with what's not working and how to manage it and let it go. You know, right before break in last hour, we were talking about the constant energy suckers, about dealing with undercover haters, about people that bring you down constantly, dealing with that friend or those friends who are still enmeshed in the drug or alcohol scene that you've avoided or let go of or no longer a part of, as well as dealing with that proverbial dead weight. You know, the person that's always looking for the financial or emotional handout, as well as the energy handout, the midnight phone calls, the midnight texts, with you running to get to the phone. You know, now it's time to talk about the users and the losers in your life. You know, because the users and the losers, it's always that me syndrome. It's like they suffer from the me syndrome. You know, always constantly using your contacts and your friends and leveraging them for their own personal gain. And that happens a lot. I mean, when was the last time that you're out with a friend and next thing you know, you run into somebody and they're like, oh, Anna, you know, and you're talking to them and you introduce them and later on they're like, oh, hey, I'd really like to hang out with them. And you're like, oh, okay, well, what about? You know, I have a business idea I'd like to throw by them and let them hear about it. And, you know, I mean, the deal is that you know that, one, this person that y'all just saw isn't interested in that person's business idea. I mean, heck, you haven't even gone over a business idea with this person. I mean, I have a specific person in mind when I talk about this, too, because I have some old school friends that I've known for a long time. I have some people that I've known for since I was in middle school. And some of those people that I met when I was a youngster became a big deal. And it's interesting, we're all big deals, but I mean, they were financially paid out as a big deal. And it's interesting because one of those people in particular I think about often, and any time that I see them, we talk and everything. We're not extraordinarily close. I mean, I'd like to be closer as far as friends is concerned, but you know, sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. But you always have those people that know that you're connected and know that you know that person, and they're always asking, hey, do you think you could set up a meeting with me and so-and-so? And you're like, well, I mean, I don't even meet with them. You know, and it's like, you're like, okay, so do you like me because of the people I know, or do you like me because of me? And that's a good question. And sometimes you obviously know the answer. All the time, you know the answer. Some of us don't want to really deal with it. I mean, some of people, it's not about who you know, because you could be dealing with people that are already, you know, what we consider famous. It could be, what have you done for me lately? You know, everybody else wants to know me, so what gift or what thing have you bought me lately? What have you done for me? And that's an interesting concept, too. And you have to sit there and think about and weigh those friendships and wonder, is this a really working friendship, or is this a friendship that I want to keep because of the status? Is this a friendship that I want to keep because I look good because I'm friends with them? Is this a friendship that works for both of us? Is it amicable for both of us, or is this just a losing proposition? You know, users and losers, a lot of times they're only around when what? They need something. I need something, Ashley, help me out. I need something. And I understand, but at the same time, do you really want to deal with that day in and day out? Knowing that really, once they get what they need and they don't find anything else that they need, they're gone. They don't need you anymore. They don't need anything from you anymore. I mean, think about it. You can be honest with yourself in this situation. Nobody's judging you. This is perspective. This is a judge-free zone. I am Ashley Burgess. I am not a judge. I am not a jury. And I'm definitely not your executioner. So be honest with yourself right now. Be honest with yourself. Is there somebody in your circle that is using you, that's only there because you have something or know somebody or anything like that? That's why they're around you? And it's interesting how those same types of people can be out of sight, out of mind. I call it the ADD situation, the ADD disease. And I'm not making light of ADD. Come on, I was diagnosed as that since I was a child. But the out of sight, out of mind is what I'm talking about, is that you're only in mind when they're thinking about you. And when they think about you, they will call you, and 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 they will blow up your phone, and they will blow up your phone, and they will leave a message, and they'll leave a message, and they'll text, and they'll text. And all of this within 5 minutes. And you haven't heard from them in 2 months. That's what out of sight, out of mind is. Jump, 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 Ashley. I'm thought about you. You should be happy. This is your genie here. Even though the genie doesn't seem to ever, you know, give any sort of, like, bonuses, or I don't ever get the 3 wishes I want, and they just seem to just keep popping back into my life. I even have family members like that. I mean, you do too. And you know what I'm talking about. They only call you when they're thinking about you. It's not like a daily thing. I mean, mom, you might talk to her weekly. It's not like that. This is like when they need something, they're thinking about you, bam, they're calling you. And they're going to call you until you answer that phone. And if you don't answer that phone, they're going to call other relatives that know you and ask where you are. Because they want to find you right now. It's like roll call. It's like you're in the military. You better be standing up in line. You better be in formation. If you're not in formation, something's wrong because you are at their beck and call, right? Right? You've always been there. Why has anything changed now? Think about it. A lot of times the people that we have to distance ourselves, we've trained them to treat us a specific way. Better yet, maybe we didn't train them at all. We just accepted it, and we kept accepting it to a point where now it's mainstream. You know, it's interesting the things that we accept in our life because we want to have more friends, because we want to be liked. Oh, the people-pleasing gene. Dun-dun-dun. The people-pleasing gene shows up again. Oh, God, what do we have for him, Johnny? Well, we have a lot of empty friendships and some money stolen and, I don't know, a boyfriend taken, and let's see what else we have. We have a lot of bad nights out at places we didn't want to go and drinks we had to pay for because we didn't want to, well, we didn't want to be alone. Interesting. The people-pleasing gene. Also, think about users and losers. They're only around when you're there for them, when it's convenient for them. They're only there for you when it's convenient. Okay? Think about it. They see you as a 24 hours, 7 day a week open McDonald's. You're there. You're the golden arches. You're the golden arches off the side of the highway where it's easy off, easy on. Easy access, easy back onto the highway. You are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You've always been there. So whenever it's convenient for them, they'll go on and stop on by. They'll take a gander's. They'll come on by and get an apple pie or get a Diet Coke. And in this situation, they won't come by and get apple pie or Diet Coke. They'll come by and get some of your time. They'll come by and get some of your emotional handout. They'll come by and get some of your, I don't know, you don't have free time. Most of us don't have a lot of free time, but they'll take that too. Think about it. We are not 24-hour day, 7 day a week businesses. But then why do we run our lives like that? Why do we allow people to come in at any time they want, to take whatever they want, and to leave? I mean, are we so much into people-pleasing and having everybody like us that we just let everybody walk all over us? I mean, you don't even accept money. You don't even have a cashier. I mean, at least at McDonald's, they charge. They charge for the items that somebody takes. You can't just walk into McDonald's and take a bunch of stuff. Well, you can, but that's called robbery. That's called stealing. That's against the law. However, when it comes to us personally, we don't have any. You know what the law is in this situation? It's called boundaries. So the burglary and the stealing law that they have implemented in businesses and throughout the whole world about stealing product is boundaries, personal boundaries. It's the same thing. And we're going to talk a little bit about more of that later in the next couple of segments. But next, when we return, we're going to start talking about the last group of people that you might want to distance yourself from. The liars in the group. We all have a couple of those. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I'm ready to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about distancing yourself from that old school friend. You know when it's time to. You know it's time. You know that there's a time when you need to distance yourself, that you've had enough. Things have taken a negative turn. They've gotten hostile. They're unproductive environment. It's no longer working. People aren't growing together anymore. You're growing apart. That's when you need to distance yourself. You got to do it. And who do you distance yourself from? Well, yes, let me answer that for you. You want to distance yourself from the constant energy drainers, the constant energy suckers in your life. The people that bring you down. The people that seem to undercover hate. The people that might be still addicted to drugs and alcohol, that use it and abuse it and can't seem to leave that lifestyle. You know, the ones that are never saying anything good. They got nothing good to ever say. They're always talking bad about everyone. You always feel like you're constantly explaining yourself and you never feel like you're understood. You know, what about the proverbial dead weight? Those people that have the proverbial dead weight, they are the proverbial dead weight. They're constantly looking for financial handouts. They're constantly looking for emotional handouts. And you're constantly giving them. You know what I'm saying? You have that. You have somebody like that in your life, or you have, and you have actually put distance or created boundaries or gotten rid of that friendship. I mean, you know, there's one thing about time and there's one thing about having your time. And, you know, we always hear people say, I don't have enough time. I'm so busy. My life is so busy. I have no time. And you go, okay, that's fine. But, you know, what's funny about it is we can be those same people saying we don't have any time, but yet we give all our time to one person that seems to drain us. That person that's really never around. Or possibly we give somebody a lot of our time that's really not somebody we need to be spending time with. Think about it. Think about those old school friends that, you know, you love them, but are they really good for you? Are they really there for you? Are you really there for them? Is it one-sided? Or has it kind of, is it kind of past? You know, some of us live in the past. And I think with friendship, it's easier to do that because we want to hold on to our friends. We believe that friendship can last forever. And I think that there are certain friendships that can, as long as they morph and change throughout time and offer each person what they need. And I think if both people are there and both people are giving and both people are aware and both people are growing toward the same direction, it works. It's like the old, there's an analogy. I have a client recently that came into my office. And he's in love and she's in love and they're thinking about getting engaged. However, there's kind of a problem. He wants to move to Hollywood and he wants to go and pursue acting. And she wants to move back to Tennessee to a little ranch where her family lives and live there for the rest of her life. And to me, that's not the same type of dream. But both of them are trying to make this work. However, I don't think it can work. And I think a lot of times with our friendships, it's the same way. We have somebody from old school that we love and we care about and we've had some great times with. And God knows we share some really special, special past moments with them. However, where they're going might not be where you're going. I mean, I have a friend of mine right now that I absolutely love. But their life is completely different from mine. They're on a different level. And it's not like their level is good, bad, or indifferent. It's just not the same. They're looking for different things in life. They've always looked for different things in life. And we've tried to make this relationship work. And I think if you can create proper boundaries, that's one thing. But for the most part, birds of a feather flock together. And you need to find friends who have the same values and are going in the same direction as you. Just like with that couple, one person wants to move to Hollywood. One person wants to move back to their small farm. Is that going to work? I don't think so. I mean, we can try and try and try and push every button we can to make something work, but will it work? And I think we have to really analyze and honestly step back and say, are we going in the same place? Are we both growing or is one of us stagnating or are we both stagnating? And in that case, we have to be honest. We have to open our eyes and see reality. You know, we talked about the users and the losers. We've talked about them, about it's the me syndrome. About the people that want to use all your contacts, leverage all your friends, use them for their own personal gain. You know, what about the ones that are only around when they need you? Out of sight, out of mind, when it's convenient for them. You know, let's talk about the liars in our life, because we've all had a few of those, and hopefully by now you've cleaned house. But if you haven't cleaned house with the liars, let's talk about them. And also, this might protect you in the future. You know, liars are an interesting group of people because the liars are the ones that always want to protect their lies. They want to protect their lies at all costs. So they're constantly dividing and conquering everybody else because they don't want other people to find out what they're doing. They're constantly dividing and conquering because they don't want to find out what they're doing. They don't want other people to find out what they're saying, what they're doing. And so they're constantly keeping people at odds. They're constantly dividing people up. They don't want people necessarily to know what's really going on, okay? Because if one person starts knowing and figuring out, they're going to figure out this person's lies, and they're going to be outed, and they don't want that. They want to divide everybody up in a sweet way so that nobody's talking to one another and everybody's wondering what's going on, and they'll actually spin little yarns of lies to you and them and somebody else so that you don't want to talk to the other friends in your group. Think about it. The last time that I had a major liar around in my group, you would have never thought it. You would have never guessed it. And it wasn't until they started making little comments like, did you know what so-and-so said about you the other day? And I'm like, no, what? And I mean, I don't do anything wrong to anybody. I'm a very upstanding person and I just expected it to be some sort of positive thing. And they were like, they said da 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 da. And I was like, oh my God. How rude. And I wasn't really thinking it clearly because I've known this person for so long. And the person they were talking about, I'd only known for a short period of time. And so I let history and historical reference take over my thought process and weigh in over the person that I had just met. And this was years ago. And I remember I started thinking about it, and it kind of made me angrier. The more and more I thought about what this person had said, they said I was arrogant and da-da-da. It made me angry. And I went, man, how dare they say that to me? And so I don't like to argue. I don't like to fight. I like to be honest. I'm honest and I'm authentic, and I like to communicate at the right time. So I stepped back, and I didn't say anything to this person, and I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And then about a week later, I realized that this person in question that had said that I was arrogant was acting strange to me. And then I was thinking, how dare them act all strange to me while they say that I'm arrogant? The whole time not thinking that maybe a little birdie in the shape of this large man had told me a lie and then turned around and told her something to keep us separated. I hadn't thought about that. So eventually, I decided it's time to let the cat out of the bag to figure out what's up. And so I asked her to come by for a meeting. We sat down. And about 20 minutes into it, I said, hey, by the way, I mean, this is what was told to me. I'm not going to say by who. But, you know, that's fine that you think that way. But I would appreciate you to come to my face and tell me. And let's have a conversation about it instead of you going around to other people talking about it. She was like, what do you mean? I would have never said that. I never said that. And about 10 minutes after that, she goes, and by the way, you know what? While we're talking and while we're airing of the grievances, and obviously I never said that, she goes, this is what I heard about what you said about me. And I said, you know what? I don't talk about people. I never said that. And eventually we got to the point where we both realized it's the same person. The same person that had been lying to her had been lying to me. And we were able to figure that out. And then there came a time where we had to approach that person. And we decided to do it together. Because a liar needs to be dealt with, especially when they are dividing and conquering people to protect their lies. It's one thing for them to lie and mess up their own life. It's a different thing for them to lie and mess up everybody else's life. It's not fair. Because it's all done with a certain angle, a certain angle. They're always saying things on a certain angle. They're always saying things but for a certain reason. And it's not because of the truth. They're saying it to make you feel a certain way, to garner a certain emotion, to get a certain emotional pull from you, and to also allow their lies to keep on going because they don't want anybody to catch on. They don't want anybody to catch on to their lies because they don't want them to because they're scared. Because if they actually catch on, you'll figure them out. And that is definitely someone that you need to distance yourself from immediately. If you're dealing with a liar in your life, it's time to cut bait and to let them go. And so when you return, we're going to be talking about exactly how to distance yourself from these people, how to do it in a quick, timely manner, and how to do it with success and ease. And in the future, it'll make it easier for you to do this any and every time you need to. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about how distancing yourself from a friend can be difficult. And a lot of times it's not necessarily the distancing, it's trying to figure out who to distance yourself from. And in the last hour and a half, I've been talking about the constant energy sucker, about the proverbial dead weight, about the users and the losers, as well as the liar's pants on fire. All these different types of individuals are friends, in quotation marks, are people that we probably need to do a little bit of distancing ourselves from, and that would better us off, better our life off, make us feel better about ourselves. But on top of that, we would actually be the driving force, to get to the next level. You know, and a lot of people say, yeah, I know that some of my friends are this, that, and those, and I understand that it's not the most positive of people to be around, or I understand this is not really that good for me and health-wise and healthy friendships and health health friendships and people that I really want to be around. However, Ashley, how do you honestly distance yourself from a friend? And I think we need to look at this in several parts, because one thing is that it depends on how long you've known this friend. How long has this friend been in your life? This is very important, because it can tell you exactly what you need to do. And the first thing that we want to do in order to put some distance between us and someone else is to ignore them and to refocus our time. When we ignore the situation, sometimes it doesn't become such a big deal in our heads. And a lot of times we're able to ignore and refocus our energy and our time when a relationship is kind of in its elementary state. When it's not that old of a friendship, it seems a lot easier to just kind of ignore, let it go, get busy in life, you know, be busy, not really focus on it. And it kind of just goes away. And so for some people listening tonight, if you're dealing with a recent new friendship that's gotten toxic or is causing you a problem or is a negative turn, you can use the old ignore and refocus your time and energy, because it works almost every time. Because eventually, you're not the new news. Eventually, they get busy, they forget, they move on. And sometimes when it's a new friendship like that, it's better just to kind of exit stage right quietly than it is to keep it going. And that actually works a lot of the time. But for most of you, I know that you're thinking about old school friends. Friends you've been around for a long period of time that don't seem that healthy to be around. Maybe their actions and their attitudes are starting to tax you a little bit because it's been so many years of dealing with it. You thought that they'd eventually change. And you know what? People only change if they want to change. They don't change if you want them to change. It's like the idea of mom telling you what to do. How many times did you listen to that? You know, so let's talk about that. When you're dealing in a more difficult situation, it begins by pulling back your energy as far as not thinking about the situation day and night. You know, a lot of times we have a tendency of when things aren't going exactly the way we want it to, we think about it day and night. We think about the problems with the relationship. We think about the problems with the friendship. We think, you know, why can't it just be this way? And remember the good old days, and we start kind of picturing different things, and we start kind of changing the past to fit our good old day picture. And it's interesting. And a lot of times we have to let that out of our mind. And that can be hard with the concept of just trying to ignore, because I don't think that you can compartmentalize something that you're thinking this much about. Think about it. If it's a non-meaningful relationship, if it's a meaningless relationship, you're not going to try to figure out how to get distance. You're not thinking about this. This is an emotionally driven situation based upon a series of events or foretelling that you need to move on. Because we only have to distance ourselves from relationships that have been long-lasting. We only have to distance ourselves when it actually means something. And when you're dealing with an old school friend like that, someone that's been in your life for a long time, I don't think that compartmentalizing is the option. I think that you have to always be authentic. And when it comes to being authentic, you have to say what's truly on your mind. You can't just expect them to mind read, because, you know, they probably won't even know what you're talking about. You have to sit there and step up to the plate. Because they can't mind read you. They don't know what you're thinking. And if they do, then I don't know what's going on. But for the most part, most people do not know what's going on in your mind. So you have to sit down with them and have a conversation. And a lot of these times, this can be very painful to some, because some of you do not like confrontation. Confrontation is the root of all evil to some of y'all. But sometimes confrontation is needed. Sometimes confrontation can be beneficial. Haven't you held back before when you've gotten angry or upset or somebody did you wrong and you waited it out and it just kept causing more problems in your psyche? You got angrier and angrier, maybe catching yourself drinking more than usual, maybe catching yourself drinking for the first time because you had all those feelings wrapped up. You're angry about it. You're holding on to it and you're not letting it go. And it's a lot easier to begin and to talk about things when there's not so much water under the bridge. And that's an alarm, real quick. That is a red flag. If you have been holding on to this for years, it's going to be hard to repair because your own mind, your own heart has been hurt. and you haven't been authentic and honest, a lot of times because we want to people please, but a lot of times because we don't like conflict. We do not like conflict so much that we'd rather have internal conflict within ourselves. I mean, how many of you have actually laid there in bed and thought about an argument or thought about something that happened, and you wished you had said something, and you started thinking about it, and you wished you would have just made a comment, just said what you had to say, but you didn't. And so there you are, tossing and turning all night long, night after night, thinking about it. And you have this internal conflict, but oh, God bless, you don't have a conflict with them. I mean, that's the key here. And that's what we have to do, is we first have to step up to the plate. We got to refocus. But we also have to be authentic and say what's on our mind. So if this is a close friend of yours that you've known for a long time, and there's a reason for your distancing, either their negativity, their energy sucking, whether it's that, whether they're lying, whether they're cheating, whether they're undercover haters and you figured it out, you need to call them or text them and set up a time to meet with them. You have to. And I wouldn't sit there and I wouldn't put anything out on the phone. I wouldn't say, hey, by the way, I'm going to call you out. I would just say, hey, I'd love to see you. Let's meet up. And I'll be honest, the system and the honest surprise that's going to come from this meeting is a good thing. So when you sit down, let's just say that you decide to pick a place to eat. And you want to pick a place that you can actually be, you can talk. You don't want to pick a place that you have to whisper, okay? You don't want to pick a place that you're going to be yelling at, but you want to pick a place that you can talk. And I would just honestly, don't raise your voice. You know, try to stay calm and cool and collected. And the longer you wait on having this conversation, the more you're going to want to just blow up. But if you get to it at a decent timing, hey, I just need, you know, I'd love to see you. Let's do lunch. Let's do whatever. You see them and you go, hey, how you doing? You know, about 10 to 15 minutes. Hey, by the way, I really need to talk. I need to talk to you about, I asked you here today to talk about this. Let's just say it's about their lying. Their lying has just caused you a lot of pain and grief, and it's gotten you into some situations you're not happy about. Maybe because of their, you know, basic lying and, you know, kind of just going off, you know, half-loaded all the time, they've caused you to be in some situations that you're not happy with. Bring that up. Talk about it. Explain their role in the situation, okay? Don't be scared to do it. The last time that I met with somebody that had done me wrong, I met with them and we went to dinner. And it was like a really tight dinner spot where everybody was right there. And I wanted to say something, but I didn't. So I waited. And about an hour and a half later, I drove them back home. I mean, I've been waiting to say something for years, but this is like another 2 hours isn't going to kill me, I guess. And so finally, I had written out a handwritten letter. About 3 pages long. And when we walked in their house, we sat down, they had the TV on. I was like, hey, let me go on, let me see your remote. And I muted the TV and I said, hey, I want you to read this letter. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, I want you to read this letter and I'm going to sit here while you read it. And then when you get done reading it, we can talk about it. And that was one of the most stressful few minutes of my life because, you know, I've been harboring this feeling for so long. And this anger and resentment, I put it in a letter, and I wanted them to read it. I didn't leave the room. I sat there. And I'll be honest with you, it's like heart-wrenching sometimes because you're like, oh, my God, this is, you know, here we go. And when they got done, what is this about? Well, you know what this is about. And you can kind of figure out the direction they're going to go by what position they take. What do they actually accept is they're doing? How do they honestly accept your authentic voice? And this is going to play a lot into what happens because, you know, if they sit there and look at you flippantly like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what? This is just whatever. You know, this is definitely a friendship that you need to walk away from. End it. Get done with it. If they look at you and they say, okay, yes, I did play a part in this. And yes, I want to do everything I can to make this better. I want to change it. Words are great. You have to watch your actions eventually. But I would take that as more of a positive. However, if they basically write you off or persecute you for talking the truth and for saying how you feel, this is a red flag and you need to abort ship. So stay tuned. We return. We're talking more about how you can put distance between you and relationships that are no longer working and how to do it with ease. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and
sound. Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking tonight about distancing yourself from close friends, when you need to distance yourself and why. And there's a lot of times where we have these great friends that we love and love, and we had around for a long, long time, but the relationship is no longer serving a purpose. It's actually getting us off purpose. It's taking us off. It's taking us away from what we need to be doing. And we have to put some distance. And that can be because there's a lot of negativity. There's constant negativity. There's undercover hating. There could be drug use, addiction, could be lying, could be cheating. There could be emotionally robbing you, financially robbing you. I mean, there's all these aspects and you have to sit there and look at it and say, how much more am I willing to take? And I think a lot of times we cling to these friendships because it's what we know. We cling to the friendships because we don't want to like abandon someone. We feel like we're their savior. I mean, heck, we hardly can save ourselves, much less saving a bunch of other people. I mean, let's get real, folks. I mean, if you just got out of rehab, you can't go save everybody on drugs. If you just got married, you don't know all the answers about marriage. If you just got pregnant, you don't know all the answers about being pregnant. Come back at me when you're on your 12th child and we'll talk about it. None of us are the freaking prophet. But you know what we all are? We all have a say. We all have authentic voice. We all know what we want in life, and we know what we don't want in life, and we know when somebody is going against our boundaries or somebody is going against our values and our fabric and our values in our life, and you can feel it, and it makes you feel weird, and it makes you feel odd, and you don't like feeling that way. And right before the break, I was talking about pulling back your energy. The way to divide off and to put some distance between you and somebody when it's not working in a friendship anymore is to ignore and refocus your time and energy, to pull back your energy, as well as sometimes you got to make that face-to-face conversation and you have to be authentic and you have to tell them how you feel. And I was just talking about the last time that I wrote a letter to somebody and actually had them read it while I sat there. They had literally walked all over me like a doormat. And you know what? I let them. I had let them, and I had held a lot of anger and resentment toward that. And I had to let it go, and it came in the form of a letter. And I wanted to see how they looked when they read this letter. And after they got done reading the letter, like, so what is it that you want? It was 3.5 pages, and it was pretty to the point. You know, and it's funny how I think at that point in time, I probably should have let things go. But you know, the human condition, we got to just keep on going. We don't like to cut bait when we need to. We want to see if we can change them. We can make them better, rehabilitate them, you know? And we have to sit there and look at things and realize that sometimes in life, if people don't want to change, they're not going to change. And so when we want to divide up from people that are disrespecting us or kind of hurting our life or by being around them or causing pain in our own life, we got to step up to the plate and do it. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You've got to distance yourself. You've got to find other things to do. You know, it might seem normal place to be around them, but is that uncomfortable comfort zone where you want to be at? You know, it's interesting when I get in a funky mood, when I start feeling a little odd about life or, you know, I'm having a bad day, I catch myself calling the same 2 or 3 people. And those same 2 or 3 people, the reason why I call them is because they feel the same way I do. So we just, you know, pontificate on this negative emotion. And that's really the last person I need to be on the phone with. However, it feels so uncomfortably comfortable. And so, you know, when we distance ourselves in life, we have to realize that it's going to feel uncomfortable in the beginning. You know, standing up for yourself and moving on always feels weird in the beginning. However, as we get used to doing it, as we get used to being more authentic, as we get used to standing up for ourselves, things seem to work out even better. You know, I have a couple of examples. I was at a meeting a few months ago, and I was meeting with some people that I had been friends with for a long time, but somebody had gotten kind of in between us and they had a falling out and I was reconnecting. And there was a guy at the end of the table that had his, like, he was kind of like facing the other direction, and I never really saw him when I sat down, and I introduced myself to the people I didn't know at the table, and I gave hugs to the people I did know, and I sat down and we all started talking. And midway through this conversation, I realized that the person at the end of the table, I know. And the way he kind of looked at me, when he looked at me, was almost like, shh, don't say anything, basically, is what he was saying without saying anything. And part of me wanted to just go on and go, okay, I guess there's a reason for this. And about a couple minutes into that, I went, you know what? There's really no reason to ever lie. And there's no reason to really omit. So I'm going to be my authentic self. And I was like, hey, how you doing, so-and-so? We were just talking about you because a friend of mine and I were just talking about them the other day, asking, you know, how they were, wondering how they were doing, how their family was. And he was like, oh my God, Ashley, how are you doing? And everybody at the table was like, you know Ashley? He's like, yeah. And I think I basically walked in. I had purposely gotten there late for a reason because I wanted everybody to kind of talk amongst themselves because that's sometimes a good thing to do. And basically, I had foiled his plan. I mean, he had not said that he knew me. He was probably involved with this conversation, and everybody was kind of taken aback. He ended up leaving early. I've learned that when you stand up for yourself in life, it's a good thing. And you know what it does for you? It builds endorphins. It builds these, like, soulful endorphins. Not the same as exercise. Not when you're exercising and you're at mile one, you're like, woo, I can take on the world. This feels better than drugs. No, I'm talking about endorphins that are, like, soulful. It's like you level up. Each time you stand up for yourself, each time you do what's right, each time you ask the right question, authentic question, each time that you put yourself out there, you level up. And so when we talk about putting some distance between friends, the reason why you're thinking about doing it is because you need to. It's because you know that this friendship is going to take you off point, take you from being your authentic self, try to help take you away from being your purpose-driven life. And when you're dealing with people that are bringing you down, you have to let that go. Because even though something can be very uncomfortable, we can get so used to it that it feels commonplace. And one of the best things to do with somebody that you've known for a long time that happens to bring you down, that's really negative, that seems to be rooting against you, that seems to crucify you at every stop they can, and they seem to judge you, is to sit down and just talk about it. And you know what? They might get very offended with you. They might get very angry with you. But that's okay. That's okay. As long as you keep your cool and you're honest about it, you can say your piece. And you're going to let them talk too because it's not just one-sided. However, once it's all said and done, you know that you were honest and authentic and you know you did the right thing. You know, if it's an undercover hater, I mean, you know, a lot of times that can be hard because that could be one of your best friends. I mean, you see it all the time. Especially with pro players and what have you, where they have friends that grew up in middle school and high school, and they really did not want their friend to be a pro football player, a pro basketball player. And you see it come out in the press when there's comments and things that are said. And it's kind of sad because you know that the guy is probably thinking, my gosh, do I have any real friends? And I think some of us can feel that way too. And it's like when you're dealing with that, you got to step up to the plate and say it. And that can be very difficult. And I think the most difficult part is allowing yourself to realize this has got to come out of my mouth. I've got to let this go from my head to my mouth and I've got to move on. And even though I want things to be different and even though I wish that things were different, they're not. And the only way that I can make room for new friends and for new relationships and for new energy in my life is to let go of the low vibrational energy. It's to let it go. Because I'll tell you one thing is that most of the time, friendships as far as communication is normally always two ways. So if you let go of the phone line and you let go of the texting, eventually they're going to do the same. That's the best way to distance yourself ultimately almost all the time. I mean, if it happens to be a love interest that you have to distance yourself, that has a little more work to do. You have to really get involved. You have to explain why you're leaving and you have to break up. You know, I mean, unless you feel like that person can change and rehabilitate themselves and they can come back at a later date and y'all can revisit the situation and realize, is this something that both works for both parties? That's something you can think about. But one of the biggest pieces of advice that I give you tonight on perspectives, create proper and quality boundaries. It's a lot easier to create boundaries, to live by boundaries, because you don't have to go back and explain to people why they walked over your boundaries, because you don't allow them to walk all over you. The problem is that with old school friends, a lot of times we let people walk all over us. We allow them to do whatever they want to do in life. And later on, we get offended. But why should we get offended? We've taught them that they can walk all over us. And so the easiest thing that you can do for yourself is from now on out, when you meet new people, when you accept people in your group, when you talk to more people, figure out how to create positive, lasting boundaries. Think about it. Are there friends and family that you need to sit down with and have a dialogue on their particular actions and behaviors? You know, do you sometimes feel that you put yourself on the back burner because you're always doing things for everybody else but you? Do you agree to do things and not follow through because you feel overcommitted? Do you say yes too quickly to a request from somebody else and then later wish you could take it back? And most importantly, are there areas in your life and particular friendships and relationships where boundaries need to be established? I.e., don't call me. I'm not going to answer the phone after XYZ time. I'm not going to text you back. I don't accept that. And so then guess what? They don't ever do that. If they do it, don't respond. If somebody's very negative and very argumentative with you, don't get into it with them. Don't spar with them. Let it go. Walk away. They're not going to get the attention they want. Eventually, they might do it again. Do the same. Walk away. Don't give them the attention, and eventually, they'll stop. Think about it. Boundaries are essentially important, and you can look at some of these relationships now that aren't currently working and explain to them and start setting up boundaries. I love you, and I care about you, but this has to happen XYZ. And it's a lot easier to create new friendships with lasting and quality boundaries than to go backwards, but you can still go backwards. If the relationship is worth salvaging, you can salvage it. Just remember, is it worth salvaging or is it just about your comfort zone? Because I'll tell you another piece of advice is that other people will come into your life that you can set up good quality boundaries with that will be there with you, that you don't have to worry about this. And sometimes you have to clean house to make things better. Stay tuned. We have a great show for you next. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.